Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And it's my prayer that the Lord will help you in understanding the Scriptures as we go along through passages of Scripture in the Bible. Today I'm going to be preaching from the book of Romans, chapter 7, and I'm going to begin with verse 14. Romans 7 and verse 14. The title of the message is The Christian Struggle with Sin. The Christian Struggle with Sin. And this struggle with sin is a warfare. Now, this passage that I'm going to be dealing with in a few messages in Romans 7, verse 14, and really which carries on through verse 25, has been a subject of debate, controversy, and differences between professing Christians, because there are many who do not understand what Paul was doing in this passage and who cannot understand that Paul is speaking of a Christian warfare here within the Christian struggle, the struggle with sin, the remaining flesh, the remaining warfare, the remaining influence, presence, influence, corruptions of sin. And so they'll often say that Paul in Romans 7 verses 14 through 25 is speaking of himself before he was saved, because they cannot understand that a Christian would have such struggles as Paul describes in Romans 7, 14 through 25. But there are several things that show that that is not the case. First of all, in the whole chapter of Romans 7, the Apostle Paul is describing his relationship to the law of God, before he was saved, before he was born again, before he was stopped on the Damascus Road and converted to Christ by Christ. And then he begins to describe the Christian's relationship to the law after he's converted. And if you want to talk about Paul before he was converted, before he was saved, you have to go to Romans 7, verses 7 through 13. And that's where Paul describes himself when he was lost in unbelief and he didn't understand the reality of the law. And that was shown or evidenced by the fact that he was trying to keep the law in order to be saved. And he says he didn't know it, but the law condemned him at that time. Remember back in Romans 7 and verse 9, he says, "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." You see, when Paul was lost in his sins and in unbelief, when he was spiritually blind to the reality of who he really was as a sinner, he thought that he could keep the law and do enough to recommend him unto God to make himself righteous, and he thought he had spiritual life based upon his deeds. But when the commandment came, that is, when the Holy Spirit showed him the reality of the law, what the law requires. The law of God requires perfect satisfaction to all of its precepts. That's what the law of God requires. Righteousness. And if you break that law, if you transgress that law, if you come short of that law in any facet of it, all that the law can do is condemn you to death, eternal damnation. And so that's what Paul was saying there in verse 9, when the law came, when the commandment came, when the Holy Spirit showed me what the law required, perfect satisfaction to its precepts, perfect satisfaction to its justice, sin revived. What I thought was dead, sin, now I see is alive and well in me. I'm a sinner. I come short of the glory of God. I cannot be saved by my law keeping. And then he said, I died. He saw that the law condemned him to death. Now, the Holy Spirit never leaves a sinner to whom he reveals the reality of the law in that condemned attitude. If the Holy Spirit shows you yourself under the law as a sinner who deserves nothing but death and hell, his purpose is always to bring that person to Christ for salvation. And that's what Paul is describing here in Romans chapter 7. You see, the only way that I can stand under the law and not be condemned to death and hell is to be found in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness, imputed, charged, accounted to me. I have no other righteousness but Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Romans 10 and verse 4. Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment, the finishing, the completion, the perfection of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Without Christ, I'm condemned. But as Paul writes later in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so, Paul does describe himself before his conversion in Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 7, going through verse 13. But in Romans 7:14, to the end of the chapter, he talks about how a believer within himself still stands in the law. And what he shows that even though a believer, a child of God, a born-again person, is perfect in the eyes of God in Christ through His blood and righteousness, in myself, in my own person, within my own heart, there is a struggle with sin. And sin is still present in my life. I've told you many times on this program that there really are only two types of people on this earth. There are sinners who are yet lost in their sins, and sinners saved by grace, but still sinners. Now, I know that there are times in the context of particular scriptures that when the Bible refers to sinners, it's referring to unbelievers only. But that does not deny the fact that in passages like what we're about to read, that true believers are not still sinners in the sense, not in the sense that we are unbelievers, because if we're saved, we're believers. But even as believers, we still fall short in our character, in our conduct, in our thoughts, to the standard of perfect righteousness that can only be found in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as a believer, I still have no righteousness in myself. I have the Holy Spirit who indwells me. But I'm not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not me. He indwells me, keeps me, drives me to Christ, convicts me of sin. But in myself, I'm still a sinner. We sing a hymn at our church. I quote it all the time here. Only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Now, what Paul is describing from Romans 7:14 through 25 is a Christian struggling in the warfare of the flesh and the spirit. And what he's showing here, somebody says, well, this is Paul before he was saved. He's writing, in Romans 7, 7 and verse 13, from Romans 7, 7 to verse 13, the verbs are all in the past tense, but from Romans 7, 14 through 25, they're all in the present tense. So Paul is saying, my past experience with this issue was in unbelief, and I thought I was saved, but I wasn't. But in my present experience, here I am struggling with sin within, but not condemned because of Christ. That's what he's saying. And the struggle that he describes, we're going to see this as we go through these verses in the next message, The struggle that Paul describes is a struggle that only a true believer could have. An unbeliever couldn't have this kind of struggle. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, unbelievers struggle with sin in themselves. But it's only natural conscience. It's legal. Only a believer can struggle in the warfare of the flesh and the spirit against the flesh. So let's read verse 14 of Romans 7 and Romans 7 verse 14. And notice something here in this verse. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual." Now what does that mean? Well, it means the law reaches to the heart, friend. The law is not just a system or a list of do's and don'ts that we can condemn or excuse ourselves if we do this and don't do that, or don't do this and do that. Most people measure, for example, righteousness by what they don't do. Paul described that in Colossians when he talked about those who are involved in the religion of taste not, touch not, handle not. And he said that's worldliness. Righteousness cannot be measured by what you don't do. But here's the thing about it. Righteousness cannot be measured by what we do. You know how you measure righteousness? Only by God. And God reveals righteousness where? In the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you want to measure righteousness, look at Christ. If you want to see how you measure up in righteousness, look to Christ. Compare yourself to Christ. I heard a fellow say one time, he said, I know I'm not perfect, but I've never done anything that deserves going to hell. Well, my friend, you're not measuring righteousness right. The Bible says in Acts 17, 30 and 31, that God commands people to repent of that kind of thinking because He has appointed a day, Acts 17, 31, He has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that He has given assurance unto all men in that He raised him from the dead. Now the law is spiritual. The law reaches to the heart. It reaches to the thoughts. In other words, it measures against the righteousness of God, which is Christ, not only what you do or don't do, but what you think and what you don't think. It measures attitude. It measures motives. It measures goals. You see that? The thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's why it says the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Cuts to the quick. It judges based upon not just what we see, but what we don't see. It's spiritual. It reaches to the heart. And that's why Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount, in the book of Matthew chapter 5, that it's not only a sin to commit the act of murder, it's just as sinful and damning to think it, to be angry. It's not only a sin to commit the act of adultery, but it's just as sinful and damning to lust. For a woman to lust after a man, or a man to lust after a woman. Or this ungodly homosexuality. You see, That's how the law works. It reaches to the heart. It's spiritual. And that's why we have to understand that righteousness is not something we do, and righteousness is not something within us. Righteousness is in Christ. Christ is my righteousness. So Paul says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Now, did you hear that? Now, he's speaking present tense. Just as he's sitting here and penning these words by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul says, "I'm carnal." Now, that word carnal means flesh. And the word flesh is used in various ways in the Bible. For example, the word flesh can just mean the physical body. Now, Christ himself, in his humanity, had a physical body. He's both God and man in one person. But now, his flesh was not sinful. He had no sin, knew no sin. He was separate from sinners. The Bible says he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, according to the physical nature of things. There is nothing inherently sinful about the human body. Adam had a physical human body before he fell. So flesh can refer to the physical human body. But sometimes flesh is used as a metaphor for sin. The warfare of the flesh against the spirit. And it's a metaphor. And the reason the Bible uses that metaphor is because the human body, our human bodies, are the vehicles through which our sinful desires and thoughts and motives and goals are enacted. If somebody has the thought of murder, they'll take their physical hands and they'll grab a gun or a knife or a club, or they'll use their bare hands to kill somebody. And so flesh is often for sin. And that's what Paul's talking about carnal here. I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin, a slave to sin. In other words, I cannot get away from the inward influence and contamination of sin within myself. Okay? Now hold on to that thought. Over in the book of Romans chapter 8, Paul speaks of carnality. And here, listen to what he says here. Now you remember in Romans 8:1, he said, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And he says in verse 5, this is Romans chapter 8. He says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." Now there he's using flesh as a metaphor for sin. And he's talking about unbelievers there. They that are flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's a born-again person. That's a believer. He says in verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death." Now Paul said, "I'm carnal, sold under sin." But over here he says in verse 6 of chapter 8, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, Paul is talking about something completely different here in Romans 8 than he was in Romans 7. To be carnally minded is death. What is it to be carnally minded? It means to be an unbeliever. It's a person who does not know and believe in and trust Christ for all salvation, for all righteousness. And generally what he's referring to here, people who are trying to be saved by their works. When you see this, it says to be carnally minded is death. Don't just think of the drunk laying on the corner or the prostitute out selling her wares or the drug pusher selling his drugs or the bank robbers or the murderers. They are carnally minded now. But the carnal mind is also evidenced by the false religionist who's doing their dead level best to keep the law in order to make themselves righteous before God, rather than trusting Christ and believing in Him and resting in Him for all righteousness. So to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, what is it to be spiritually minded? It's to be a believer in Christ. To be spiritually minded doesn't mean that you wear long beards and funny hats and drive buggies, or that you taste not, touch not, handle not, and things. To be spiritually minded is living by faith in Christ, resting in Christ, following Christ. He is my righteousness. He is my life. He is my peace. And then he says in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind is an enemy of God. Anybody who does not believe in Christ is an enemy of God. Did you know that? It's what the Bible says. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's not subjected to the law. You see, when Paul, when he was in an unbeliever trying to keep the law for righteousness, he thought he was subjected to the law, but he wasn't. He was breaking the law. Because the law can only be fulfilled in Christ. Anything less is transgression. So he says he's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, verse 8, cannot please God. But look at verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now, if you're a believer, you're not in the flesh is still in you, but you're not in the flesh. You're not in that state. In that, you don't have that kind of standing before God. You're in Christ. You're in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, the law, right back in Romans 7:14, the law is spiritual. Paul says, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Well, now, let me give you this thought. Now, listen to what Paul said again. The law is spiritual. We know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. How can the same man say, I am carnal, sold under sin, say, as he wrote over here in Romans 6 and verse 7, that he's dead and freed from sin? How can he say, as he did in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. What does he mean by that? He, in fact, back up there, he says in verse 11 of Romans 6, likewise reckon, account you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, how can the same man say at one point, I'm dead to sin, freed from sin, not under the dominion of sin, and then over here in Romans 7:14 say, I'm carnal, sold under sin, a slave to sin. He's talking about two different things. In Romans 6, he's talking about his legal, forensic, objective standing before God in Christ. Christ took away my sins. Christ paid the penalty for my sins. My sins are not charged to me. They were charged to Christ, imputed to Him. I'm righteous in Christ. I'm dead to sin. Sin cannot condemn me. I'm freed. I'm at liberty from sin. It cannot condemn me. That's what I am in Christ. But in myself, as I stand here on this earth and walk on this earth, and this will be the case until I die and go to be with the Lord, or until He comes back again, I'm still a sinner. I'm carnal. I'm a slave to my flesh. I can't get away from sin. My thoughts, my attitudes, my doings, they're all tainted, contaminated with sin, because I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm not condemned. I'm justified before God. Based on what? Based upon the imputed righteousness of Christ. But in myself, as I walk on this earth, a sinner saved by grace, I can't get away from sin. It really mars everything I do. Even the best prayers I pray. I'm telling you, that's why we need Christ to be our intercessor. That when we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. pleading the merits of His blood, His righteousness. How can God accept my worship, as pitiful as it is? How can God accept my prayers? How can God accept my efforts to be good? Not because they're perfect, because they're not. They're contaminated with sin. There's only one way that God can accept me and anything that comes from me, and that's through the blood of the Lamb of God. Do you understand that? Washed in the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. There's nothing else can do it. And so I'm to be diligent to make efforts to do right, to please God, not in order to be accepted, but because I already am in Christ. Not in order to be righteous in God's sight for my salvation. I want to be righteous, but not for my salvation, because Christ is my salvation. So as a sinner saved by grace, as a believer, as a born-again child of God, listen, I'm still carnal. I'm in this human body. And I still have sinful thoughts, sinful motives, sinful goals. I have to fight it. It's a warfare. Paul describes that in Galatians chapter 5. He says, here's a believer. It's one in whom has within himself, herself, the flesh and the spirit. And the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And I'll talk about that more next time. But understand now, in Romans 7, 14 through 25, Paul's talking about his present state on earth as a sinner saved by grace. In Romans 6, when he talks about being free from sin, dead to sin, he's talking about his legal standing before God in Christ, washed in His blood, clothed in His righteousness. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.